Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Tim Versalotti, we have spoken about the upcoming vacant Senate race in Massachusetts. The governor appointed a guy, Mo Cowan, who was a placeholder there. But now we have to watch and see who's really going to run. And we see two Democrats facing off like rams on a mountaintop, U.S. Representative Edward Markey and Stephen Lynch, one more progressive in the public eye than the other is more conservative, Markey being the more progressive, I think it's fair to say. And on the Republican side, former U.S. Attorney Michael Sullivan, Representative Daniel Winslow, and Cohasset businessman Gabriel Gomez, those are the people. Now, I'm assuming that Sullivan, as the former U.S. attorney, has the edge up on the Republican side. I believe Markey does on the Democratic side. Assuming that my guesses are right and those guys face off against each other, what's likely to happen?
It's a tough call right now because, in part, Michael Sullivan's issue positions are not very well known. What we do know is he served as U.S. attorney from 2001 to 2008 as an appointee of President George W. Bush. On social issues, he's anti-abortion, he opposes gay marriage. He was supportive of gun control, and President Bush had named him to head the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, and his appointment was blocked by the NRA and other groups. And so in a state like Massachusetts, having the NRA as an enemy could may help in some quarters, certainly with crossover voters, unenrolled voters who otherwise might vote Democratic. But in terms of his views on balancing the budget, on reforming Social Security and Medicare, all of that is unknown at this point. And so and he's got to get to a primary first before anyone can really handicap this general election race. I will say this about Michael Sullivan, though. In order to get on the ballot for either party's primary, the candidates had to submit 10,000 signatures from registered voters by February 27th. When you have to engage in this enterprise, and you have to submit the signatures to the town clerk in the local community where you gathered the signatures, and there are 351 cities and towns in Massachusetts. Mm. When you engage in this enterprise, you typically hire paid signature gatherers. Sullivan didn't. He said, I'm going to put together a volunteer organization, and this will be my first test of my public support. If we can get this done with volunteers, then I'm in, and that's a good sign that my campaign has some strength to it. And he pulled it off, whereas the other two Republicans, Representative Winslow and Mr. Gomez, did a combination of volunteers and paid signature gatherers. So this is an early indicator of strength and a very interesting one in terms of Michael Sullivan's campaign.
Now, you heard my view that Markey would probably beat Stephen Lynch. Do you agree with that, Mr. Polster?
At this point, I do, and here's why. Because if the Republicans had had only one candidate running, all the attention would have been on the Democratic primary, and some of those Scott Brown unenrolled voters or even Democrats who voted for him might gravitate towards Stephen Lynch, who is the more conservative of the two candidates, is pro-life, voted against Obamacare, although he said at the time he voted against it because it lacked a public option. Lynch would have benefited from the crossover voters among the unenrolled. Those unenrolled, to the extent they turn out at all, though, could show up in the Republican primary instead because there are folks now running there who may speak to their interests. I think that gives the edge to Markey in the Democratic primary at this point.
That is fascinating. You know, Tim Versalotti, I think a lot of our listeners who may be in other states other than Massachusetts don't quite understand what the open primary is. Perhaps you could explain that for a minute.
Sure thing. The way it works in Massachusetts is each party holds its primary if it has more than one candidate running to run in the general election. And in terms of participation,
on the same day.
And in terms of participation, you have to either be registered with that party or registered as an unenrolled voter. And unenrolled voters make up the vast, well, I won't say vast, but they make up the majority of voters in Massachusetts, about 52%. And so they can vote in either primary, and it doesn't affect their voter registration. They can remain unenrolled. And so come April 30th, when both parties are having primaries, Democrats will vote in one, Republicans will vote in the other, and those unenrolled, more than half the registered voters in Massachusetts, can decide to vote in either primary.
Right, and I'm one of them, I have to admit. I stay unenrolled, and then I have this wonderful time of deciding which primary I want to be in. Now, there have been times, I'll admit it, that the Democratic primary is all but decided, so therefore I might choose a ballot in the Republican primary, and sometimes just to make trouble.
Yes, that's the fabled Operation Chaos that Rush Limbaugh was promoting in the 2008 Democratic presidential nominating contest, where he was urging Republicans to support Hillary Clinton in open primaries to extend the battle between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. No one knows how much that works. There's been some exit poll research that has suggested only a small percentage of folks are like you who like to cause some trouble.
Well, I don't think I do it on a regular basis. And frankly, I like to say it more than do it. But I'm fascinated about what I'm going to do here. We're going to see a very interesting fight. And has your polling or your understanding of what others have done polling-wise led you to believe that Markey right now has the upper hand in the Democratic primary?
We're going to be doing our polling a little closer to the primary, but the polling data that I have seen so far has suggested that Markey began with a big advantage over Lynch, but that it's gotten smaller as Lynch has gotten more coverage. And so, and we want to keep in mind, Stephen Lynch, although he's more moderate to conservative among Democrats, he's a union guy. He was an iron worker before he went to law school, was president of his iron workers local, and it's expected that organized labor is going to assist him considerably in getting out the vote in the primary. And it's been interesting to watch the unions take sides. The Nurses Association, the Building Trades Council, the firefighters have lined up behind Lynch so far. Markey has gotten support from the Teachers Union and the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees. So organized labor is going to play a huge role in this primary. And that could give Lynch a boost and help him close the gap.
Now, there's going to be a huge debate season, I believe six debates, that the two candidates have agreed on, Markey and Lynch. You're the pollster. Tell me whether people really understand what goes on in these debates and whether they count.
It's not so much whether the voter has watched the debate. It can be a tall order. Sometimes these debates are not aired in prime time. Sometimes we get them during the Wheel of Fortune / Jeopardy hour from 7 to 8. But the buzz that surrounds these debates, that can shape voter perceptions. So even if you haven't seen the debate, the next morning on the news, you're hearing analysis of who won, who lost, the takeaway lines from it. You may be chit-chatting about it with your colleagues at work, and that's where the debates can make a difference in shaping perceptions. More often than not, they confirm the tendencies people already had, but there is that small percentage of voters who don't have very strong preferences, and that is, debate outcomes can push them in one direction or the other. What's mitigating against all of this, though, is that this is a special election, the timing is unusual, and whether people are going to be paying close attention to this, I think that's still an open question.
We've been talking to Tim Versalotti, director of the Western New England University Poll, professor of political science, and as you can all hear, a guy who can teach us an awful lot about an awful lot of things. Thank you, Tim, for being with us.
Oh, thank you, Alan. I enjoyed it.